Good morning. I'm Pat Rivers. This is Rochester Speaks, and in this segment, the Rochester Education Foundation, otherwise known as REF, and what they do in our community. They play a vital role, and I'll give you a little bit of a teaser here, as I don't want to take anything away from our guests. They are an organization independent of the Rochester City School District that is dedicated to providing services and programs to city students, and what those programs include, and lots more. Here to tell us about that is Stuart Henke, Executive Director at the Rochester Education Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat, and good morning to the Rochester communities tuning in.
I know you're not too far away. You're over in High Falls,
you
your offices.
It. Yeah.
A lovely stroll, a lovely summer
Absolutely,
stroll.
Absolutely, yeah.
So how long has REF been around, and how did the organization come about?
Yeah, great question. So we were founded over 15 years ago, and it was a group of city school parents came together and founded the organization in a living room, really were focused on providing those programs and resources that were identified either by partners in the school district or things that are that these city school parents saw that were missing from the educations of their own kids and their kids' friends and also an appreciation that most suburban districts have their own education foundation, but the city school district did not. So really wanted to fill that gap.
And how long have you been involved?
So I joined the REF team as an AmeriCorps member in 2012, and I've been there ever since. I've climbed the ladder, and I've served as the executive director for the last 2 years.
Very nice. And how has it been so far?
Well, I got to tell you, one of those years has been a real doozy. So it's not exactly the best time to get in, but it's been a time where it's really evident of what you need to do and what you need to provide to people in the community. So the task was great, but that just meant that it was a great time to really dig in and to do something special.
It was for a lot of folks.
Yeah,
it was a very
absolutely.
Challenging time. So what are some of the programs that Rochester Education Foundation has?
So we have the longest running program we have is called Spring for Music, in which we get donated instruments and we provide those out to classrooms and to students. So we've given away over 3,500 instruments to students in classrooms. And when we started this, we based it after something in Nashville, and they said, you'll be able to do this for 2 years. Mm. And that's Music City, USA.
Right.
And we've been doing it strong ever since.
Oh.
So when we started this, there were schools that had 13 instruments. So if you wanted to play the flute and there wasn't a flute, then you're kind of out of luck, right? And now we're at a point where students can play the instrument of their choice in the school district. So we have a young man that we gave a flute to in the fourth grade, and then he was amazing, and we gave him a brand new flute when he was a senior, and now he's got a full ride at the Eastman School. So it's really a testament of what one thing can really make a difference to a student.
I was going to ask you a good news story, and there you go, right there.
Absolutely. And so we kind of have expanded that out. So we also provide lessons, scholarships for supplemental lessons for students. So we've got 33 kids over at Hochstein this summer taking lessons. We support, there's only one marching band for the entire school district, so we
really?
Work with them. And we also support a performing arts group. So if you're a sixth grader at a particular school who doesn't have a big musical production and that's your dream to be on the stage, there's a troupe within the district that you can join. And right before the pandemic started, we had our first show with them. It was Frozen Junior, and I drove through a snowstorm very appropriately to get there. And they had like kids from 14 or 15 different schools participating in that. So it's a great way for students to get involved.
That is something. And this is just for city schools, right?
The city and charter school students is kind of the breadth of our programs. And with those instruments, because there's a lot of them now, we've been able to give them out really to any organization that has city kids or kids who can't afford an instrument. We're happy to help provide that gift of music.
Wow, that is something. And where do you get the instruments from? Is that
so
where we help out?
That's where you help out. Yeah,
okay.
From people's attics,
yeah.
That people downsizing,
right.
People moving, you know, people who realize that their 35-year-old son doesn't need two sets of drums in their basement, which is a true story.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
So that's our music and arts program. We have a literacy program in which we try to get books out to students for their home libraries. What's really great about that is that we hear from students and from teachers and parents about how it's not just the students that read those, that they're sharing those with their siblings and reading them along with their parents. So during the pandemic, we really focused on getting as many books as possible to students. So by the end of the summer, we think we will have given out 20,000 books since the start of the pandemic.
That's a lot of books.
That's a combination of new and lightly used. And we're really thankful that there's a lot of people who've really donated some great books to us with that as well.
And you're going to have a big book drive coming up very soon.
About a teaser. There it is.
Yeah, which we'll talk about here in a few moments. Now, I would imagine working with the city schools and given the state of our city schools as of late, do you find there's a need more than ever for what you provide?
You know, I think there's a need more than ever in general with the pandemic. And, you know, our organization was really founded to supplement and to fill in the gaps of what the city school district is unable to do for whatever the reasons might be. Mm-hmm. And we're not an organization that is out there to reform the system. We're not an organization that's there to lay blame. There are so many kids that really need our help right now that getting bogged down in the politics of it is not really what we want to be involved with. So we've seen certainly that the need is higher than ever, whether that's been through getting those books out to students, delivering those right to students' homes. We delivered instruments to students' homes during the pandemic. And we have our third main program, our College Access Program. We transitioned to be a virtual platform. So parents and students could make appointments, they could text in and they could make an appointment to meet with one of my staff. And we called it our Rochester College Help Desk, and people could make virtual appointments. So we had situations where student was at home, mom was at work on her lunch hour, and we were able to fill out a financial aid form with them right there. So it's opened the door to a lot of new situations and opportunities.
And there's a deadline coming up for potential college students, right?
Yeah, we want to let everybody know that there's still time to enroll in college, and the big deadline that we're talking about is that MCC really wants people to get applications in by the 11th of this month. So there is still time, but you got to get it done. And if you need a FAFSA done, that's your financial aid form, which we do about half of all the FAFSAs that are done by city and charter school seniors are done with our help. You can go to rochestercan.org and you can make an appointment with our staff. And we will help you do a FAFSA online, and you're not there alone.
RochesterCan.org.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
That's wonderful. Good that you have the program. College is that ever elusive but valuable part of any person's education and lot in life. You are listening to Rochester Speaks. My guest, Stuart Henke, Executive Director at the Rochester Education Foundation. Now, I would imagine in this pandemic that we've just come out of, there was some challenging times for you. How did it affect your organization?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I just like every other organization, we had to figure out in the span of about half a day how we were going to work from home and how we were going to transition programs that really happened in person to some new way of doing it. So it was really a crash course in crisis management. So the things that we did is that we really focused on, as I mentioned earlier, trying to get as many books as possible to students. I see books as kind of a food, shelter, water situation, so we just wanted to get as many out as possible. We had to figure out how to get students help online, so that's just how we created that virtual platform. And not just helping with FAFSAs and college applications, but we've done a great selection of workshops online as well, which actually has been helpful because students could tune in from multiple schools at any time. And one thing that we always try to do is have college students participate as panelists. And a lot of times college students don't have cars to be able to drive anywhere. So, or they have class during the middle of the day. So being able to have panels of college students to be able to tune in with students from 10 different schools really opened a lot of doors to expand those things out. But the challenge for me personally, and I think probably for a lot of folks who work with students, is that you haven't been able to see the kids. You haven't been able to see the kind of the impact that you've had directly. So it was a lot of like okay, I'm going to give all these books out, and then you just give them to the people who give them out. So it was not a lot of like seeing the kid mm-hmm. with the smile or like, oh, do you want to read this book with me kind of situation. So it was challenging to kind of get the payback. So it's like it's hard work in the nonprofit world, and you know we're certainly not doing it for the dollars, but mm-hmm. we're doing it because we want to have that sense of reward. So that's been elusive a little bit this year, but it's starting to come back.
I was just going to say, we've turned the corner, hopefully, keep our fingers yep. crossed, you know, and then life will be back to normal soon enough.
Someday.
Yeah. So you do have a big book drive coming up, REF, and the South Wedge Unite for a book drive for city students. Why the South Wedge?
The South Wedge, because somebody came forward and said, we want to do it with you. So all that's right. really how we operate is as a small staff of only two full-time people. The people that want to work with us, those are the people we want to work with. So mm-hmm. we're really excited that the South Wedge Planning Committee came forward with us and said, we'd love to do something to support city kids. So the team over at SWPC and the Wedge newspaper have really been fabulous in helping us put together a book drive here in the month of August where we're collecting new books targeted to students in pre-K through grades 5. So we can have a lot of books to help students start the new school year off right.
Okay. And so how do you acquire these books? Is that where we come in again and go out and buy a whole bunch of books?
You got it. So there's a couple ways you can do it. So for some people, they have that book they love reading with their kid or yeah. that they loved reading. And feel, you know, we encourage you to purchase one of those, help pass that on to the next generation. And you can drop it off at a number of places. So Tap and Mallet, Equal Grounds, Coffee, Happy Earth Tea, St. Joseph's Neighborhood Center, and the South Wedge Farmers Market there on Thursdays. You can drop it right off to us there, and a lot of those businesses have little discounts they'll give you, which is nice. So that's one way, buy and donate. You can also go to Hippocampo Children's Books on South Avenue, and they've got a great selection of books that they've kind of pinpointed as these are great books for kids for the upcoming school year. And so you can buy them right there, or you can buy them online, I think, with Hippocampo, and donate them right to us.
Okay.
The third way is that you can just go to our website and you can donate $5 and we'll take care of the ordering for you.
If you don't want to do the book. I got you. That's
and
fun.
What's great about the this book donation is that we have a generous donor who is actually going to, for every new book that gets donated, that this donor is going to donate $5. So you kind of can double your impact.
I love the name of that bookstore, Hippocampo. That's a clever name.
Yeah, it is.
So now, these are new books, mm-hmm. but what if you have some up in the attic that you're not using anymore? The kids have grown. I don't know what to do with these books. Will you take those as well?
We will take those. That's kind of less of our focus, because there really is something about cracking that book open and hearing that spine and smelling that new book smell instead of the attic smell. So, you know, there's a lot of great places to get those new books out to, and if they're in good shape, send them our way.
All right. And this book drive takes place when?
It takes place during the month of August.
Okay.
So it kicked off just a couple days ago, and it's going to run through the whole month.
And if you'd like to know more, learn more about this, you have a website.
We do. So you can head to rochestereducation.org. And if you want to learn just about the book drive, it's rochestereducation.org/South Wedge.
All right. Stuart, we have a few more moments remaining. So how are you funded, supported?
Yeah, we're supported through really the generosity of the Rochester community. So individual donors, sponsorships from some great corporations here and organizations in the area. We have a lot of grants that we submit, which are great support from our local philanthropic mm-hmm. community. And we also have a big gala event in October called the Toast to REF, in which we will highlight kind of a hero of city students every year. So we also have that big gala, which is a big fundraiser for us.
A toast to REF?
Yes, sir.
In October?
Yeah.
Are you going to hold that this year? Because I know a lot of them got canceled last
year. That's the plan. That is the plan. You know, I think that a lot of us, the thing that we've learned through the pandemic is you just got to roll with the punches.
Yeah.
So we're planning for it. And then I think that by this point, all of us have planned on attending something that didn't happen at the last second. So what I will say is that we're planning on doing it in person. It'll be at the Harrow East Ballroom.
And ooh, the Harrow East.
We will be having an online auction and online fundraising teams, and we'll play the the program that we do online the next day. But if it doesn't happen, we'll still feed everybody. We'll figure it out somehow.
I'm sure. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Things are coming back fast. Yeah. I think we're all excited to go to a fundraiser again.
Yeah. I want you to come out and have a good time and support a good cause. And it's really always wonderful to meet people who are so dedicated to our students here in Rochester. So having these opportunities to chat with people and talk about more in depth about what we do at REF is always a great time.
Well, Stuart, thank you for taking the time to speak with us this morning. Stuart Henke, Executive Director at the Rochester Education Foundation, our guest this morning on Rochester Speaks.
Thank you, Pat.